Our reading this morning is from Galatians chapter 6. We're starting at verse 1 and going through to verse 6. In the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 975. Galatians 6, starting at verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one of you test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbour. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches.
Good morning. Well, we are coming towards the end of Galatians. But sometimes I think it's really beneficial that we keep repeating things and speak of things that are worthwhile. How about the love of God? It's something we can just focus on. The vastness of the love and grace of God has recently been weighing quite heavily on my heart, and the truth that Jesus had to die to save me. And no matter how encouraging that thought might be, and the knowledge of that, it is also, to me, a stark reminder of who I am. In John 4:19, it says, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And the commandments we have from him is, whoever loves God must also love his brother." May the word of God that we share today dwell richly in your heart. Let us pray together. Our loving and gracious Father, we come before you to ask that you may open our hearts wide to the message that you gave Paul, that he wrote down, that we can read it, and with the blessing that we have the Holy Spirit as a gift from you to open the truth of the word to us, Lord, that we may understand it. May you indeed continue to guide us, enrich us, and give us wisdom, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we have in fact reached the last chapter of this wonderful God-honoring letter written by Paul, given to him by God. It's a letter inspired, of course, by the Spirit, and Paul's using his God-given authority to call sinners to repentance with a view to restore them. You may even call this letter a form of Christianity explored, a course of Christian living. It's focusing on the gospel of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and the salvation for all who believe in his name. He clearly states that we are saved by grace alone, and never by any good works we may have done. So when you then read the Holy Scriptures, as you are guided through the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit, you will arrive at the inevitable conclusion: our good works will never ever meet God's standard. And yet, Paul now in chapter 6 will call upon Christians to do good works, much in the same way as James did in his letter when he wrote in 1:22, "Do not merely read or listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says." But let us step through the first 6 verses this morning and keep in mind that good works done well is actually also fruits of the Spirit. In verse 1 it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Well, you might ask the question, as everyone should, how can I, a sinner, how can I hope to restore another sinner? Think of yourselves in terms of being a doctor. And your mission is to nurse someone back to health because they're sick. Even though doctors also get sick from time to time, doesn't mean that they shouldn't be doing their very best to help restore a patient that is sick back to health. And as his patient, of course, if you are that patient, you hope he will be kind, he will be strong, and he will be truthful. There are moments in this letter where Paul seems to be very blunt with his language and the way he speaks about it. But it is out of a loving kindness that he does this, because you want them to stop in their track, have a think about who they are, and then take notice of what's being taught. And then he wants them, of course, to get back into step with the Holy Spirit and the work of God. To be sure you understand that being kind isn't always the same as being nice, by the way. If I'm being nice to you, it may be because I don't want to upset you. I want to keep you as a friend. But if I'm being kind to you, it is out of love. I should be willing to do what is right, even if that may be upsetting to you. I may even offend you. Niceness comes out of friendliness, but kindness is driven by love. You need to make up your mind as you walk through the life with God. Do you want me to be nice, or do you want me to be kind? Do you want to be nice to your friends, your fellow brothers and sisters, or do you want to be kind to them? Well, Paul is being kind. He's being kind to the Galatian churches. He's certainly being kind to us. Some of the things you can do to restore a brother and sisters are manifold. But while we do that, we should keep in mind what we read in Matthew 18, 15 to 20, speaking of how we deal with sinfulness in our community. Teaching us we should approach a brother and sister that is sinful, one-on-one, face-to-face, and reason with them from the Bible about what sin is. Not what I think it is, but what the Bible says what it is. And failing that, we are then to bring someone with us to see that person, that we may then try yet again. But should that also fail, we shall then take that person to the church, to the community that we live in. And if he then fails to understand the biblical truth that we are trying to teach him, we are to put him out of the church. But keep in mind, the sole purpose for putting him out of the church is to bring him into the church. We will want to bring him back as a repentant and restored part of our community. It is therefore important that we have a few things. We need to be sure that we convey our love and our care for them. We need to be concise and biblical in our conversation with them. We need to be ready to be quiet and listen to them. We need to seek his or her repentance. And we need to wholeheartedly be willing to lovingly forgive and pray with them. But Paul also adds a really important warning to all that. He says, keep watch on yourself lest you be tempted too. Just as a doctor needs to be healthy to be of any help to you, so you also need to be healthy. And we're talking spiritually healthy, to be of any help to anyone whatsoever. What does it then mean to keep watch of yourself? If sinfulness comes out of evil, then the only protection you or anyone will have is indeed the Holy Scriptures. And we know this from the example Jesus gave us when he used scriptures as a defense when he was face to face with Satan and being tempted, as we have in Matthew chapter 4. You simply need to be immersed in the scriptures each and every day so that you can recall those passages that will support you when you are in the most dangerous times. Do this, of course, for your own sake, but also for the sake of a brother and sister as well, enabling you to be kind and loving and guiding when you are needed to. The next good works Paul calls for is also not easy. He says in verse 2, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, first, the law Paul is obviously referring to here is the command given to us by Jesus to love your neighbor as yourself, or, as he says, love each other as I love you. So we need to love each other the way Jesus loves us. Both of those commands given to us by Jesus will serve equally to guide you in the matter of bearing someone's burden. In practical terms, we can consider a burden, well, not to put too fine a point on it, suffering for Christ should probably be at the top of this list. It is a burden, yet it is not. Then we have people that can be, people that will be a burden to you. There'll be a pain in the neck. Then we have the sinfulness is certainly a burden we all carry. Then we have sickness, which is equally a common burden amongst us. And never to forget the sorrow and the loss of a loved one. The question still remains, how can I bear the burden of those burdens for a brother or sister? Sometimes people may simply need some of your time to feel appreciated or even accepted. That's all it takes, to sit with them. Not always convenient, but it is a loving thing to do. Think of Jesus when he walked across and he was going to spend time with the disciples by themselves, having a good time, talking about things of God. And the 5,000 people walk around the lake. And Jesus had planned for this time a fellowship. But he saw the 5,000 and their needs, and he had compassion on them. That's what we talk about here. It is just take the time, have compassion for the people that need you now. You can always go back and have that quiet time later. I would say, though, I'm not going to take your sins upon me. I'll have enough of my own. But I will do whatever I can, lovingly, if I can, to restore you back to health. Easing some of the burden that you carry may be something I can do by sharing your load and caring for you in whichever way I can. Tending to your needs and caring for you should fall easy for me. As a Christian, that should be easy. Making a meal for you, cleaning your house or your garden is also a loving kindness thing to do. Or simply taking you to a medical appointment. And obviously spending time with you and praying with you, for you. Bearing your burden when you have suffered a loss of a loved one should obviously fall natural for all Christians. Kindness, just sitting with you, praying with you, or reading the Holy Scriptures with you. More importantly, sometimes just be there to listen. Just be quiet. Just listen. If you've been given a really sad medical prognosis, then lending your ear and prayers on top of the list, of course, helping with practical matters also comes close to that. None of this, what I've talked about, are a finite list, of course, but it's a start. Pastoral care for a brother and sister is all an awareness matter for you. It is being aware of who's where and doing what. Who is suffering? Who needs us to be there for them? It is what we are here for. That's what fellowship is. Paul is acutely aware of who he is And he's always striving to be more like Jesus Christ every day. Part of that is to remain humble, or if you are not humble, then to gain the humility it takes to understand who you are. In verse 3 he says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We also have in Numbers 12:3, we are told, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And yet we know he was a sinner." And in Proverbs 21:4, we are informed, "Haughty eyes and the proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked, produce sinfulness." Any Christian person indwelt by the Holy Spirit, understanding why Jesus had to die on the cross, figuratively standing before the cross, surely you can't remain haughty and proud. We are only what Christ has made us, and we must think more of others than we think of ourselves. Our entire life is in the hands of Christ. And Paul wants us to remember this as we live together as brothers and sisters. A well-developed and understood humility makes serving a brother and sister a lot easier and seem to be a lot more natural for us to be who we should be. Verse 4 gives us even food for thought and places the responsibility back on our own hands to keep a track on who we are and what we are. And it fits in very well with verse 2b, which says, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." In verse 4 it says, "Let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor." Well, in 2 Corinthians 10:17, we are told, "Let no one who boasts boast in the Lord." That is all we can boast in. Boast in the Lord. Boast in Christ Jesus. Last week we also referred to a verse in the Bible in 1 Corinthians. "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud." Everything Paul speaks of in this letter keeps referring us back to our understanding of the truth of gospel salvation and our own spiritual state if we did not have Jesus. Therefore, utterly removing any grounds for pride or urge to boast about who we are and what we are. Being loving, kind, and caring is great, but are we also to lean on each other? For verse 5 says, "For each one will bear his own load." In Matthew 11, Jesus offered us comfort. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, see, as Christians, we certainly do care for each other. But we also call to lean and trust on the Lord. I remember times in my life when we had really good friends and they were sort of my structure of support. And then God takes them away. They moved house. They moved away to another town. And Marie and I were sitting there thinking, what's going on here? We just found this support structure. Of course, what he is doing is removing the people to bring us back to trust in God. That we have strength comes from God only. And truly tough times come, and they will. We need more strength than a brother or sister can give us. And that strength can only come from a faithful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." In verse 2, it tells us to take your burden, to share the burden when we can. Each of us is strongly encouraged to stay close to Jesus Christ and persevere in his strength rather than our own. And sometimes it is nice to get that help along as we support each other. In verse 6, he then finishes here, this passage. "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." Paul uses the term, the one who teaches, specifically speaking in this one expounding the word of God, which is either the minister or the elder that is teaching scripture in the church. It is sharing, carries with it a manifold things too. What do we share? What can we share with him? It is what we've been taught in church, served to make you think more deeply about your walk with the Lord. And that newfound understanding is a blessing to you. It would be kind of you to share such good news with he who taught you that new stuff. Speaking or teaching the word, it also brings in mind the purpose for a minister, namely spending time in the word, proclaiming the truth of that word to his congregation each week faithfully. And much the same way as the apostle speaks in Acts 6:4, and I will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The apostles needed to be focused on what was important. They had others to do the serving on the tables, etc. In this scenario, we can also then say sharing is to share all the good things we have with our teacher, giving him time and indeed offer him time to spend praying and studying the word that eventually also will hopefully flow on as a benefit to us. In other words, giving our time and money to share his burden and serving the Lord. For as Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I can tell from experience that being a preacher, I spend more time in the word than most of you, and I have no burden. It is sheer joy. And I wish for all of you to be preachers, because you really do have to study the word. It is a wonderful time, is it not, Kevin? Obviously it is. We also have Paul as our role model here. Never wanting to be a burden on the congregation, he did it because he wanted to be a tent maker. He wanted to provide for himself. He was not a burden on any congregation he planted. But let me tell you, for a young family with wife and children and all the rest of it, in 2024, it may not be that easy. The world we live in is much more complicated financially and any other way. So our willingness to share our worldly riches becomes very much part of the sharing that we have in verse 6. And it also is, let me tell you, it is part of the fruit of the Spirit. A spiritual life isn't something that we produce within us through some ritual or method or some things that we do. Spirituality flows through us from the third member of the triune Godhead. The life of the Holy Spirit can be nurtured by using means of the grace that we've been given. Things like attending a church fellowship regularly and faithfully, reading scripture faithfully, daily, praying faithfully, multiple times a day. But life itself only comes from God. But we can nurture it. It is only the Holy Spirit that can produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. True spirituality does not produce this fruit for our own individualistic quest for fulfillment. It is not what life is about. Spirituality is best and only truly nurtured fully in a faith community that shares it willingly and lovingly. If we take the time to reread the letter of Galatians as a reminder of the gospel truth of Christ Jesus and a call on us to live a spiritual life, to show him our love and to honor his name, then we will be stronger in our faith, and we will also be better prepared and even more willing to serve him in whichever capacity or role that he puts before you. May the Spirit bless you and keep you, give you as much joy as you love him, and go through life guided by that Spirit, that you may live a life that truly shows that you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Let us pray. Our loving and gracious Father, we do come to you to thank you for Paul and the letter he wrote that you gave him. We pray, Lord, that in our hearts we will take his message. We will ponder it in our heart, and we will indeed change those things that need changing, that we may gain and develop a humility that will make it easier for us to see our brothers and sisters and what their needs may be, that we may support them. It is all about living a life modeled on your life, Jesus. We come before you and pray for all these things and for the guidance of your Spirit in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.